On the Book Show with your host, Dave Doc Kirby.
Welcome to a special On the Book Show. I have the opportunity from time to time to do short interviews thanks to Premier Interviews, which sets up the short ones for us for all manner of subjects. And I've done three recently that I thought you might enjoy. They've run on the morning show, but if you haven't heard them, here's an opportunity for you to hear them all at one time. Today we're going to talk to Jim Capobianco, the Oscar-nominated writer of Ratatouille and the writer, producer, director of the new film The Inventor, a stop-motion adventure animated film about the life of Leonardo da Vinci. We'll also talk to movie actress and star Famke Janssen about her latest movie, and with Leslie Iwerks, whose grandfather and father are legendary cartoonists and animators, and she is the executive producer of a special new documentary on DC Comics called Superpowered, The DC Story. We'll look at all three of these today on a special non-book. Today it's sort of unusual because we're not talking about three books, but we are talking about three bodies of work that are all visual. A documentary, an animated movie, and a live-action movie. So welcome to On the Bookshelf this week. Today we're talking to Jim Capobianco. He's the writer, director, and producer of a new animated feature, The Inventor. He graduated from Cal Arts in 91 with a BFA in character animation, was hired at Disney in the story department, worked on various films including The Lion King, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, and Fantasia 2000. In 97, he left Disney to join Pixar and worked as a story artist on A Bug's Life and contributed story material to Toy Story 2. He continued to help shape the story of such films as Monsters, Inc. and Finding Nemo. In 2001, Jim helped craft the screenplay for Ratatouille and was a constant presence on the production, earning an Academy Award nomination for Best Original Screenplay. He also wrote and directed the Annie Award-winning Your Friend the Rat, as well as the critically acclaimed end titles for Wall-E. His newest is The Inventor, directed and written by Jim Capobianco, and co-directed by Pierre-Luc Grandjean. It's a stop-motion adventure film about the life of Leonardo da Vinci. So, Jim, what was it like making a film about this iconic, brilliant man?
Well, thanks for having me, Doc. Really pleasure to be here. I really wanted to explore the aspect of Leonardo da Vinci that's a little bit more human, in a way, instead of the genius up on the pedestal that we always put him on. And I really wanted to explore who he was as a person, more so. So, you know, he had difficulties too. He had to deal with find a job and have a boss and deal with difficult bosses. And like a lot of people do, he got distracted all the time. He had a lot of trouble with his apprentices. He failed in things he did, if you believe it. He procrastinated in a way. So these are elements and things I think people can relate to, other than this like genius that we put him out to that feels untouchable. So in a way, sort of like a superhero where he's got super intellect, but yet he's got these flaws, and they make the kind of the great characters. So that's what I wanted to explore.
He's certainly one of the most fascinating people that most will ever research. Did you find that he had actually confidants and friends, or is that mostly part of the creation of the story, thinking, well, wouldn't it be nice if he had these people that could be in his life, that could be the counterpart to the, and he really, you're right, he really did have some mean bosses.
Yes. Yeah, you know, he had, like, Francesco Melzi, who's in the film, he was his apprentice throughout the later half of Leonardo's life. He actually inherited all the drawings and sketches, and he was a strong friend and confident. Then Marguerite de Nevers was a real amazing Renaissance woman in her time, and she, in a way, in developing the story, was how the story really came together, is when I discovered her as a person. I was researching the king, Francis I, and I discovered he had a sister, Marguerite, and she's just this amazing woman. And I thought, in a lot of ways, maybe Leonardo da Vinci had a bigger impact on her than on the king, because the king kept doing his king things, but yet Marguerite was interested in, she wrote her own books, and she was interested in the arts, and she was a, you know, people loved her, and she's a great politician, and all these things, and I thought, you know, maybe that's it, and then it created this nice triangle and drama and, you know, that could be developed. Yeah, you know, there's nothing written about their relationship or what they thought of each other, but I thought this would be interesting to explore.
One of the things that makes this animation different than the wonderful body of work that you have been involved in all your life, this is the stop action type of animation. When we think of stop action, do we mostly think of things like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and those classics from the early 60s? So this is kind of fun to see you doing something that, I don't know, was it the thought of it being retro, or is it that there that this stop action animation gives it a different kind of feeling to it than the more smooth things that Pixar has done and so forth?
Well, I think part of it is a nostalgia. You know, I grew up on those films as well. I just love them. I still watch them today, every Christmas. You know, I wanted to tell this story with the two forms of animation that are handmade. And so stop motion is very Da Vincian in some respects, because you have, you know, a metal armature that's a skeleton inside of a puppet, and it's all handmade, and you have to craft these metals from, you know, you have metallurgists, sort of people who work with metals, and you have craftspeople who can build with wood, and you have to draw the plans for the buildings, and, you know, it all felt very Da Vinci-like, and drawing, obviously, 2D animation, hand-drawn animation, is like his sketches, so to me, the only way to make a film about Leonardo da Vinci was to use these art forms. It didn't feel like computer animation was the right way to go. And I just adore him. And why I got into animation was to do drawn animation. And, you know, computer animation showed up while I was wanting to do that, right? Mm-hmm. Early part of my career. And I've been actually quite lucky to keep being able to do what I've always loved to do. Why I got into it, like drawn animation. And now to do stop motion, it's just been a pleasure. I don't know. I never, when I endeavored on this, I didn't know how to do stop motion. but then I had a great team at Folioscope Studios in France and a great co-director, Pierre-Luc Grandjean, who kind of led the way for me to show me how it worked, like what was difficult, what was easy, easier. Nothing's easy.
Right.
In the art form. And that helped me along the way. It's all about the people you work with when you make these films.
Indeed. Do you think of yourself primarily as a writer? That's how you got started. Those were your early successes. Does that kind of inform your work when you're now a director and a producer?
Yeah, you know, in a way, I started in animation wanting to be an animator when I went to school, and then I started to learn about this other aspect where you can develop stories and you can write for animation, or you can storyboard and visualize this stuff early for the animators. So I went, that's exciting. That's what I want to do. I want to be part of that initial spark that creates these things. And then I started to realize, wait, why don't we tell more stories in a diverse way like they do in live action, instead of traditionally animation is just geared to kids and, you know, about talking animals and stuff, which is all fine. I don't have a problem with that, but I feel like you could do more with the medium. And so I went more into story and writing and you know, and I saw how the writers have a lot more control of things, especially in the Hollywood system. And went, okay, so I should learn to write, and I should work in writing, and then storyboarding, and combine the two forms. Because in animation, feature development, they're both intertwined, storyboarding and writing. It's like storyboarding is writing in a visual way. Yeah, so in a way, that is what I consider myself as a writer-director now, I guess. And it's fun. It's cool. Animation is just a fun medium to play in. I love it.
I can only imagine how much delight it must bring you when you work on a project like The Inventor and you see it through to the end and realize, this is what I had in mind, but these other things other people came up with that added to it. It's really this wonderful collaborative effort.
beyond what I imagined it would be. It's because of all these people who came in and put their work into it and their, I guess, DNA in a sense. It's all of our film now. It's not my film. It's everybody who's in those credits. It's their film. It's magical, and it's a reality because of them. It took 12 years to make, but it needed to take 12 years because I needed to work with that crew. I needed it to work with Folioscope Studios. I needed all these people who came together to make this, and it would only have happened if it took 12 years, because if I made it 5 years ago, it would have been a different group of people in a different way. And so, and it came out so wonderfully, beyond my expectations.
I'm just excited to see the whole thing. I was charmed by the trailer, and I love the idea that some things take a particular time and need to be put in a particular sequence of work for everything to be the very best way it can be. And it certainly sounds like that's what you experienced. And I want to say thanks for the work that you've done in the past, the movies that I've enjoyed and my kids and grandkids have enjoyed. I look forward to seeing this with my little grandkids too.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. It was a real pleasure to talk with you.
We've been talking to Jim Capobianco, the writer, producer, and director of The Inventor, a new stop-motion adventure film about the life of Leonardo da Vinci. It's in theaters now. This is Doc Kirby for WTBF on The Morning Show. Today I got a real treat for you. I bought my first DC comic in 1963, and for the last 15 years or so, I've been reviewing DC comics, and in between I've read hundreds and hundreds of comic books. So it's a great thrill to get a chance to talk to Leslie Iwerks, who is the co-director of a new three-part documentary, Superpowered, the DC Story, debuting on Max on July the 20th. First of all, I want to talk about you a little bit. Your family background and your relationship to animation makes you an ideal person to be co-director and executive producer on this new documentary series.
Well, my grandfather was of Iwerks, who was the original designer of Mickey Mouse and the co-creator of Mickey Mouse with Walt Disney. And he also was the first artist to do the Mickey Mouse comic strip. And so also Oscar winner for visual effects technologies that he created, with Walt later in his career. And my dad was at Disney for 35 years. His name is Don Iwerks. He's now going to be 94 on Monday. I'm so proud of him. And
wow.
He's Lifetime Achievement Oscar winner for technical achievement. They're both Disney legends. So I grew up in this world, behind the scenes of Disney and on the back lot of the Disney studio and the parks and things. So kind of got an early look into animation and the world of theme parks and what goes on and how they're created. And so that kind of led to later in my life, The Imagineering Story, which is on Disney Plus, a 6-hour series that chronicles the whole history of the Disney theme parks and the trials and tribulations of building these attractions, starting with Walt Disney and all the way through Shanghai Disneyland. So that series is what led to DC, because Warner Brothers executives had seen that and said, brought me in and asked if I would be interested in doing a series on DC, similar to The Imagineering Story. But they also asked me to do, if I'd be interested in doing the 100 Years of Warner Brothers, which is the 100th anniversary is this year. So they commissioned what became a 4-part series on the history of Warner Brothers films and TV. So we've been busy over the last few years.
Indeed. Well, I've got to say that you did an incredible job to do such an extensive presentation of the creators of the original superheroes. The genre of superheroes really came from DC, and you talk about the creators of Superman, that Bob Kane with Batman, and Bill Finger, which most people don't know anything about. I was very impressed that you could find this archival material on all of these very early people in the DC world.
Yeah, we have a brilliant team of archival producers and researchers that owe a lot of credit to, who were able to find a lot of this material that no one's ever seen before, one of which was a footage of a, I don't know if it was at Comic-Con or where it was, forgetting, but it was Bob Kane on a panel mm-hmm. of other artists and comic creators, and he is finally giving credit to Bill Finger, who was sort of the ghostwriter for the early Batman comic books. And without Bill Finger, there's no way that Batman would have been what Batman is today. And so for the majority of their career, Bill Finger didn't get credit at all, and he didn't get the residuals or the money or anything, and Bob Kane got all of it, and really kind of equally, in a big egotistic way, took the credit all those years, and Bill Finger died destitute, whereas Bob Kane did not.
Right.
And so we found this footage where he finally gives credit to Bob Kane and says, you know, without him, this wouldn't have happened. So those are the kinds of moments you're looking for as a filmmaker, of honesty and that feeling of we're all human and let's give each other credit. I mean, I can relate to that story because my grandfather didn't always get credit for Mickey Mouse, and
right.
Walt Disney took the credit. And so that was partially what led to their split in 1930, but then they came back together in 40. But so I can relate to those stories of underdogs and the egos and the creative, the business of creativity is fraught with challenge and hubris and you know, all sorts of things. And so having told stories about the business of creativity with Pixar, with ILM, with Industrial Light and Magic, you know, with Hearst, and with Imagineering, DC was like kind of that on steroids. It was like, oh my God, it was so many ups and downs through the years between all these characters, and the creator stories behind the characters was fascinating.
I have all these wonderful creative people that are still with us who have worked on DC and various aspects of DC, Milestone Media and Wildstorm and other things that are now part of mainstream DC, but that were not always. It's really wonderful to see all these creative people talking about their passion for their work, and to hear Jim Lee, the chief creative officer of DC, talking about, hey, the reason I got involved in this is because I love the comics. And mm-hmm. I love drawing. That's why I'm still part of it. This is really wonderful. We don't get a chance to hear from these guys very often.
Yeah, and that was similar to what we did with Imagineering, is you're hearing the story about the people who created these attractions. You don't get to know them very often. You don't really know
right.
who they are.
Right.
The same here for these artists who are really the unsung heroes, who are the creators behind the characters that we love so much. And so to meet them, to hear from them, to understand why these characters mean so much to them, the passion that they have, sometimes very personal stories of how characters were created, you know? There's a lot of mirroring that goes on. And you look at spawning all the way back to Siegel and Shuster, who created Superman. I mean, you look at the origin story there as Superman, it was really a blending of those two guys as young men.
Yeah.
That became Superman, and it also reflected the time. So, you know, you see how these characters reflect culture, and then how culture reflects on the characters in the stories.
There is an intimacy between the way readers feel about the characters in the comic books that they love.
Leslie, thank you so much for taking time to chat with me today.
And thank you for the great work you did. Folks can look for it on Max.
July 20th, check it out. Thank you so much, Dave.
Our thanks again to Leslie Iwerks, the co-director of the new three-part documentary, Superpower, the DC Story, debuting on Max. It's narrated by Rosario Dawson and features over 60 new and archival interviews with prolific DC actors, creators, and executives. If you love comics, you will love Superpower, the DC Story. Talking today to Famke Janssen, the co-star of the new film, Knights of the Zodiac. Famke, thank you so much for joining me today. I know this is the tail end of a long series of interviews for you. I'll try to be a little original, okay?
I'm sure you will be.
I watched the movie last night and was very impressed
by several things. One of the things is, first of all, welcome, welcome, welcome. Second, the character that you're playing starts out in one particular way, and so you sort of get the impression, oh, here she is, she's playing a really tough woman again. But there's lots of character twists, and there's lots of layers in there, and it becomes a much more nuanced character because of the way that you portrayed her. It's lovely to see you getting a chance to play a role that gives you the chance to be more than one-dimensional.
Yes, thank you for noticing that, because when they brought this project to me, and it was 2019 that originally came to me, and then we got delayed, obviously, because of the pandemic. But when I read it, and my character is not, because it's based on an anime and or a manga and an anime, and that was written, the character was originally a male, and then they changed it to a female. And I said, when I read the script, I was like, well, this is interesting, but you're asking a very big thing for a woman to basically kill her own daughter to, you know, save the world.
And right.
We're going to have to make it more emotional because we're going to have to see the toll, the, you know, the decision that takes. And these are not the genres where usually you get the time to really explore that. But, you know, the director, Tomek, was really open to having discussions with me about it. And so we created this arc. And so I'm so proud that in an action film where we don't get time for that,
yeah,
we actually created that, you know, to see that emotional, you know, through line and the resonance that has. So it's lovely.
It made the character so much more real because, as you're saying, this is not someone who would just dispassionately say, well, this is the child I bore, and okay, let's just kill her off. It was fun to see you working with Sean Bean again. I know that you guys have worked together before, and very famously, and it was really nice to see you interacting with each other. And his character gets to have lots of different layers, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a talented actor anyway, and then we worked together on GoldenEye, mm-hmm, a long time ago, on the Bond movie, and on Don't Say a Word. So our paths have crossed over the time. But yeah, these are, you know, two characters who have a completely opposite idea of what this young girl who we adopted, what the potentials are, that, you know, the things of her life and the meaning. And in my case, I believe the destruction. In his case, he believes that's not going to happen. And so thankfully, we're exes, so we don't live together anymore.
Right.
But that would have been a whole different movie. But yeah, so great working with him again. Great working with Nick Stahl again, who I've worked with in the past. And I hadn't worked with Mark yet and the rest of the cast. But yeah, lovely group of people.
Now, speaking of the cast, one thing that I watch all the way through the credits, you can learn a lot about production if you look at all the people that it takes to make it, because it takes thousands of people to make things happen. And I noticed a lot of Hungarian-looking names, and I thought, I wonder if they shot part of this in Hungary. I've been to Hungary several times. Sure enough, Hungary, Canada, Japan, Croatia, and that means local people get jobs, as well as the talented people that you bring with you. Yourself, I mean.
Shot on location in Budapest, and then they went to Croatia just for a very short little trip. But yeah, that was amazing, the fact that we got the film there.
Cast itself, I mean, you're originally from Holland. Kenya is Japanese-American. Mark Dukakis is Hawaiian. Diego Tirico is Hispanic. I thought, wow, this is really an incredible international cast that's involved in this film.
Sean Bean, obviously, from the UK, and mm-hmm, yeah, a very international project. And, you know, that's my favorite part about film. It's that collaboration with people from all over.
Yeah.
Different political backgrounds, different cultural backgrounds, different countries they're from, you know, whatever it is, like, we're there together working towards one common goal. It's a beautiful thing.
That's got to be a great joy.
It's very great. Yeah.
What is the biggest challenge about working in a movie with this exceptional CG that's in there? And are you working with blue screens? How exactly does that work out?
Yeah, I mean, my experience with, you know, CGI and blue screen and all of that and green screen, you know, dates back to the X-Men movie. So I've had a good education in that, but what was different about this one is that they started doing this motion something, don't ask me, it's too technical, camera thing where the background is connected to the camera movement and all of that. And ooh. I hadn't been schooled in that yet. I wasn't even aware that we were doing it. And all of a sudden I'm on set and I go, why do I feel dizzy? What is going on? Everything is moving around me. And then that's, you know, this thing that they do. So that was a little bit of an adjustment that I had to make, going like, oh, thank God I'm not sick. Thank God I'm just, you know, not actually dizzy from me. It's just because of everything is moving, the background is moving.
Right.
Yeah, the rest of it, you know, you just have to really rely on your director. And, you know, when they tell you something is going to look a certain way, so that you know how to act, that you're not going to fall flat on your face when the movie finally comes out and you go like, oh, no, that's not what they told me. but I've been lucky enough to work with good directors who are good communicators and haven't, you know, who have been at least clear about what this ultimately will look like. But, yeah, it's, to me it's always easier to communicate with actors and look in their faces.
Right.
And you know, do that. And that's still a very large part of all of these films, which
yes.
is nice.
It is really a very cool movie. I think people are going to be really delighted by it. I'm glad how everything turned out. We're not going to blow any surprises. And I'm going to say thanks for making time to talk to me today and for your body of work that stands for itself.
Oh, I really, really appreciate it. Thank you so, so much.
Our thanks again to Famke Janssen, the co-star of the new film Knights of the Zodiac, showing in movie theaters now. So our thanks once again to our guest today, Jim Capobianco, the writer, director, and producer of The Inventor, a new stop-motion adventure animated film about the life of Leonardo da Vinci. Leslie Iwerks, executive producer of a new documentary on the DC Universe called Superpowered. And Famke Janssen, who's in a new movie called Knights of the Zodiac. We hope you enjoyed our little foray into the visual arts today. Next week we'll be back to books, of course, is our usual thing on the bookshelf. But we had these interviews, and I really wanted to share them with you just in case you didn't get to hear them on the morning show. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to check us out on WTBFradio.com. You can check out my podcast at onthebookshelf.podbean.com. And until next week, I'm your host, Dave Doc Kirby. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.